From the Quicken Loans Studios, this is Jim Rome. Mortgage confidently with Quicken Loans. Charles Oakley's birthday today. Happy birthday, Oak. Love Oak. Also, it's come to my attention that it's also, you know who he shares a birthday with? Ray Liotta. You know it. Happy birthday, Ray. Happy birthday. Hope that spot was worth it, because now I've got to read your emails every damn day. Every damn day. A Ray Liotta reset. And by a Ray Liotta reset, I mean like 1,000 resets. I always liked Ray. I never met Ray. I always liked Ray. Like watching his movies. Still like Ray. I'm happy that Ray was able to quit smoking. I wish you'd quit emailing and tweeting about him. I'd rather hear from Vape Guy.
I'm Ray, and I quit smoking.
Here it is. Dan Lusk's. Sad news, Jim. I was at Ray Liotta's birthday party today, and when he leaned in to blow out the 64 candles on his cake, his face melted. Hey, Denless, instead of tweeting at me, why don't you just do what you do? Just shop that up, bro. Just turn that into a shop. Hope that it goes viral. Hope that you get 900,000 likes and 484,000 retweets. Just do what you do. Denless, that one's loaded for you. At Come On, Jared. Come on, Jared! You mean like that? This guy's Twitter handle is at Come On Jared. Come on, Jared!
Come on, Jared! Come on, Jared!
Come on, Jared!
Come on, Jared!
I promised I'd do this. I told Percy I'd do this. Come on, Jared! Come on, Jared!
Come on, Jared!
That's one of my favorite Twitter handles. Come on, Jared!
Come on, Jared!
I told Percy I'd do this.
Does anybody have the I told Percy I'd do this handle? Because somebody already has. Come on, Jared!
Come on, Jared!
Come on, Jared tweets. I wouldn't be too worried about Cam's throwing motion. It's not physical. It's just in his head. Yours, Markel Fultz. Hey, bro, I like your handle much better than your tweet. Come on, Jared!
Come on, Jared!
If I were you, come on, Jared! I'd just go with, like, emojis. Just skip the tweet. Let the handle stand by its or stand on its own merit. All right, I'm going to get to Cam Newton in a minute. Rome, Vape Guy. Is in his own class and at a kindergarten Christmas Carol concert. This tool will take a rip and let that sweet blueberry smoke run through the crowd of parents and infants. His $200 vape piece is about the same as the Kelley Blue Book value of his car. Sucking battery acid mixed with fruit chemicals is not a safe alternative. Vape Guy is the ultimate bag. Damasio in Albuquerque, that is a great email. Listen, Vape Guy, is any of that untrue? Is any of that not right? Is your vape piece $200? Probably. Are you more proud of that vape piece than anything else you have? Probably. Does it have the same Blue Book value as your car? I bet. Sucking battery acid mixed with fruit chemicals probably is not a safe alternative. And if it's that addictive, I'm guessing you would do that at a kindergarten Christmas Carol concert. Of course you would, because you can't stop. You can't quit. You're not going an hour without hitting that glass pipe, that tin pipe. You know you are. That robot dart. You know you are. The only thing I like better than Vape Guy, Vape Gal. I was at the car wash the other day. Vape Gal was getting nice. They're like, hello, white Hyundai. And she's just getting after it on that robot dart. This guy's screaming, white Hyundai. And then she couldn't see through the cloud. That cloud over her head. Of blueberry-infused vape smoke. Everybody else at the car wash is like, hello, white Hyundai. Like, nobody can get their car because the white Hyundai's out front. And she's just buzzed out of her mind. Just out of her mind. Dear Jim, why couldn't Josh Beckett launch himself at JD and the straight shot? He would have. And TFP will eat us in. Tell Dr. Robbins, I'm a huge fan of his brother, Baskin. Signed, Kelvin Benjamin. Bobby, you said I could call you Bobby. Hey, Doc, don't take that the wrong way, Doc. I don't want you to rip your offer. Doc, you know the show. Doc, you know the show. If you really have listened as long as you have, and he name-dropped, name-checked Adam and Alvin and said it naturally, not like somebody fed it to him. You know, like when people have never heard the show and the SID or the marketing guy goes, hey, man, tell him about the jungle karma. He likes that. Do that. The doc knew the show. He mentioned, I remember when Jake was born. Jake is 17, so he goes way back. Doc, I don't think I need to tell you this, but you know the show, right? Don't take that personally. Do not rip the offer. It's just TFP Will Eat talking about your brother, Baskin. Signed, Kelvin Benjamin. The doc probably thinks that's funny. The doc with his 214 IQ probably thought that was funny. That's pretty good stuff. Oh, this is good, too. When I mentioned President Madik, I said, yeah, how smart could that guy be? He hired the guy who introduced Isaiah Thompson. I looked it up.
Isaiah Thompson.
President Madik has 3 degrees from MIT. So how smart? Really freaking smart.
On behalf of President Madik.
1-800-636-8686. So I'm looking at Twitter right now. Penny Marshall passed away. Penny Marshall played Laverne on Laverne and Shirley. Don't do it, clones. Don't do it. Don't do it. She was a huge Laker fan. I've got Fonzie to my left. Don't do it. She was a big-time director, big-time Laker fan. As a kid, I watched that show. She directed Big. She directed A League of Their Own. She was extremely well-respected. I don't want to hear from Squiggy or Lenny or the Big Ragu or Shirley. Thoughts and prayers on her passing. Again, a huge Laker fan. I know you clones. I know what you think. Way too soon. And by way too soon, I mean ever. Don't do it. Do not do it. You ghouls, don't do it. Let's talk about Cam Newton instead. I just saw that when I saw Laverne and Shirley both trending on Twitter, you knew something bad happened. She was 75. So if that seat in Ron Rivera's corner office was hot heading into Monday night, my man's got to hit that thing with a glacier when he rolls back in and he turns on the tape from last night. I mean, red zone interceptions. Hey, let me digress really quickly. I got down on that game. I hit that game too. I had a pretty good weekend. I hit 3 of my 4 bets. And if you're like, hey, Rome, you never talked gambling before. You never talked bets before. It's true. But since now it's legalized and accepted, I thought that I'd kind of check out the space a little bit. So I'm getting down. In a way, I've been buying racehorses, so I do gamble. But I never, ever bet NFL, believe it or not. Never did. Never did. Never had any desire. Loved the game. Didn't need to get down to enjoy the game. Never did. However, there's more and more people going into the space. So I thought, what the hell, I might as well. So I had a pretty good weekend. Hit 3 of 4 picks. Happy with myself. Last night, I took Carolina and the points. That said, I just say that in case you want to talk about that, we can. Red zone interceptions, a fumble in field goal range, you know, the kind of plays that take points off the board and years off a guy's life. And the kind of things that cancel out a man's game effort from your defense. You know, the kind of things that turn a 6-2 team into a 6-8 team. And I'll get to the offense in a minute. But that defense balled out. They ran a winning race. Now, if you throw a box score in front of somebody and you show them the Saints side, there's a chance that we're having that same uncomfortable conversation about New Orleans that some people were having about the Rams, except they found a way to get it done. And we're having that conversation instead about the Panthers because they are one of the more disappointing teams in the league. Again, they started 6-2. They've lost 6 in a row. And it starts with their quarterback, their QB1, Cam Newton. Now, if you watched last night's game, or if you watched any of the last several weeks' games, it's pretty obvious. This guy's just not right. He's not right, and he hasn't been right for a while. when a 6'5", 250-pound dude who's a former MVP has to wind up like Walter Johnson to chuck a 10-yard curl, you know something's not right. When Cam Newton, a guy who always pushed the ball downfield, has a spray chart like Cody Kessler, that's a tell. Cam only attempted one throw longer than 15 yards downfield. My man is hurting. It's something that the leader of America's team, Triple G Williams, acknowledged after he checked out the film when the Browns beat Carolina too. I mean, it's pretty clear. This guy's right shoulder is being held together by some duct tape and a ball of twine. Post-game, he was asked how his shoulder felt. He didn't want to get into it. He didn't want to go there. His answer was brief.
Cam, how's your shoulder feel?
It's all right.
It's all right. Of course. What's he going to say? Of course. Except they kept kind of prodding. They kept prodding, and then Cam finally came clean. Come to find out, it's not all right. It's not all right at all.
I mean, for people who labrum, rotator cuff, just shoulder soreness. And you know, as far as, you know, I wish I could say what the injury is, because I really don't know what it is either. You know, it doesn't matter how much you push, no matter how much you know, like I say, ice, you know, anti-inflammatories you take. I mean, I've been, trust me, I did it. Acupuncture, massages, it's not been a time that I haven't, a night went by without me getting some type of work done on my arm. And you just don't have the strength, you know, from the range of motion. You work on the range of motion, and then come game time, you never know how the game can, you know, kind of play out. You know, of course, you will try to stay under 25 to 30 throws, but if it's a pass that, or if you get hit on it, or you have to run, or you get tackled and you fall on your shoulder, certain things, you know, happen. You know, that's the game of football.
Listen, number one, it all came out finally, right? It's all right. It's all right. I'm fine. I'm cool. It's all right. I was out there. It's fine. I played. And then finally it all came out. That's a lot of frustration. That's a lot of frustration coming out. Of course, they lost six in a row. He started that rant off, or that riff off, by saying, for those who've ever dealt with this, those who've ever known, I can say this. I had like a slight tear of the rotator cuff once. I mean, not even like a bad tear, like a small tear. I rolled over the first night that happened in my sleep onto the arm, and I thought somebody had stabbed me and repeatedly was jamming the knife into my arm. So for this guy, right. And that was just like sleeping. So for this guy to be out there and taking repeated shots and to try to rip it, just cut it loose and throw it downfield, yeah, I can imagine that's not going too well. And he has tried everything. And apparently ice in ibuprofen.
Ice. Ibuprofen.
Is not going to be enough. But we're talking about a guy not just trying ice and ibuprofen, but a dude who's out there trying just about anything they'll give him.
I've tried and done everything, you know, and I think the frustration, like I said before, comes when no matter what you do, you can rub magic dust on it, you can, you know, go to this person, go to that person, you know, have the, you know, placebo things done where you think certain things
he's,
are...
He's done it all. Nothing's working, obviously. Obviously. The only thing that's going to work either is surgery if necessary or rest. So, shut him down. Shut him down. Your season's over. You're not going to the postseason. Why are you risking this? Shut this guy down. Or hit it with some patchouli. Or some lava rocks. When we come back, or some Tiger Balm. Or some aromatherapy. Or get the next man up. Nicole Auerbach joins me next. We talk college football with her. She is a senior college football writer at The Athletic. That's next.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you saw the bump back. Your clones and your Christmas cards, your holiday cards, the animal edition. A lot of you clones have cats. It's cool. We have cats. I'm a big cat guy. I'm going to have to drop a Christmas card of Cody the Ragdoll Cat. All right, as promised, we're joined right now by a senior writer for The Athletic, also a studio analyst for the Big Ten Network. Nicole Auerbach is my guest. Nicole, nice to have you back. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. So last week you had a piece for The Athletic about the possible expansion of the college football playoff, and there is a new update today, but let me start with last week's piece first. When did you first start hearing rumblings that important figures in college football were interested in talking about expanding the playoff?
Yeah, well, you know, it came a little bit as a surprise to me. I had done a story during the midseason of college football season, and I talked to all five Power Five commissioners about scheduling and strength of schedule. So it was mostly about the 8 versus 9 conference game debate. You know, the three leagues that have missed the playoff multiple times have 9-game conference schedules, and the two, the ACC and the SEC, play 8. So, you know, I had been talking to people and was told, you know, that was kind of like a, you know, a point of contention and a focal point for a lot of people within the sport. And then, so, you know, I just kind of kept my ear to the ground after that. And, you know, it came into play, you know, it almost came really into play, you know, with Georgia getting consideration for that fourth spot, would have left out 3 power conferences, the 3 that, you know, have been frustrated and have missed the field multiple times. So I really thought that it was going to have to take kind of like an Armageddon situation with Alabama, Georgia, and Notre Dame all making the field for this kind of the ball to get rolling. But, you know, I come to find out, I make some calls after the final selection Sunday, and, you know, you see the field and you see the New York Six Bowl, that people were already having these conversations and were frustrated, and that they felt, you know, 5 years of seeing the 4 teams selected into the field and the full 25 rankings, that they learned enough to, you know, notice some troubling trends. And kind of it went from there, that there were, you know, a number of influential people, primarily in the Big Ten and the Big 12, who are frustrated with this system and kind of ready to start, you know, getting a public debate going about kind of informal conversations that they've already been having, trying to push, you know, to get to the point where they can have formal conversations and even start looking at potential, you know, formats for expansion. So, you know, the ball is rolling, but it did start rolling a little bit earlier than I was anticipating.
You know, one of the arguments has been that a team like UCF has gone undefeated for 2 years in a row and never even gotten close to being considered for the playoff. How much of this expansion, this would-be expansion, be about UCF? And then maybe how much of this is about the Big Ten missing out 2 straight years?
I mean, a lot is about the Big Ten. And it's not even just that it's been out of it for 2 years. It's that its conference champion hasn't gotten in the last 3, because the Big Ten really did think it had a shot to get 2 in a couple years ago when Ohio State got in and Penn State, the champion, did not. That even rubbed the wrong way because, you know, this was an important, you know, factor in the compromises that created the 4-team playoff. And Jim Delaney was one of the commissioners that really wanted a conference champion to mean something and reflect a certain value that would ensure, you know, access points to this field. So that's been a big part of it, is the lack of consistency or value for conference champions for these power conferences, as well as the strength of schedule that I mentioned. And then, you know, what I think UCF comes into play here, because I know that people don't think that people like Barry Alvarez going to bat for UCF is all that genuine. I think it is, because it's changed the way that people view the formats that they would want to expand to. You know, I think there's a reason that Barry Alvarez is telling me that he supports an 18 format that has an at-large or a designated spot for a group of 5 champion. And the same conversation I had with Bubba Cunningham, UNC's athletic director, yesterday was, you know, he was talking about his background. You know, he has been an athletic director in conferences like UCF is in right now that have trouble accessing, you know, the actual playoffs, like, you know, the big, you know, the on-field way to determine a national champion. And so I think that is genuine. I think there's genuine support. I think that what people have seen UCF do for the last 2 years convinced them, reminded them of Boise State, but also convinced them that maybe when you're looking at expansion ideas, you should look at one that involves an at-large or a designated spot for a group of 5 champion, because a team like UCF, even if they're going to be the 8 seed every year, you know, you're giving them a point, an access point to the playoff, to determining a national championship. And so I think that people have seen what they've done and that they've still been so far removed from having that access. So I think it's changed the way that people view these 18 models that people are starting to talk about.
Nicole Auerbach joining us. She's a senior writer for The Athletic and a studio analyst for the Big Ten Network. So, Nicole, what about the SEC? The college football playoff has worked out pretty well for the SEC. What is your sense as to how that conference feels about expanding?
Yeah, this SEC doesn't have the same appetite that the other conferences do, and, you know, it makes total sense. They've had no problem getting a team in every year. They're the first league that got two in the same season. This year, Georgia, a non-champion, you know, was right on the doorstep of getting into the field again. So they have not struggled with it. And I think that you're going to see a lot of talk about, you know, their conference championship game. It is at a different echelon than all the other power conferences. It's so valuable to them. One of the best games of the year, the attendance, the fan interest, everything is there. So they don't like models that would possibly get rid of conference champions. I think, you know, I've talked to a number of athletic directors who feel very strongly about that point. But basically the SEC approach is, you know, it's not broke. We don't need to fix it. And it's not broken for them. You know, if they were left out one year that they thought they had a shot and they should be in it, maybe they would change their tune. But basically it's the other leagues that, you know, are having trouble getting that access and respect on an annual basis that are the ones pushing for this. And it makes total sense. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how the SEC, you know, Greg Sankey, their commissioner, athletic directors over these next few weeks and months kind of, you know, defend the, you know, why they believe in the status quo, why they like four, and then also push back against some of these models that would affect conference championship games. And there's other ways to do it where you include conference championship games before a round of quarterfinals or something like that. And then there's conversations to be had about player safety and all this. We're so far from that at this point that I think, you know, they're going to have colleagues in other conferences trying to convince them, hey, let's at least have conversations, look at models that could possibly work, and basically just sit down at the table. So it's going to be interesting to see how the SEC responds to that from a lot of their, you know, their colleagues across the country.
All right, so one more thought. In terms of the models that are being discussed, the one that comes up the most often seems to be an eight-team model. If there's eight teams, what would that field look like, and where would those games be played?
So there are so many different ways you can do this, but I'll kind of focus on the one that Chuck Nines, the former Big 12 commissioner, likes, Barry Alvarez likes it as well, and then Bubba Cunningham, UNC's athletic director as well. You know, it's an 18 model that has five spots, so each of the Power Five conference champions has a designated spot. They like a group of five champion spot, and then two at-larges. And then you see Brian Kelly, Notre Dame's coach, he said he likes, you know, the five Power Five spots and three at-large spots. Whatever, you know, they're kind of variations of the same deal here, which is that, you know, you're rewarding champions, which was, again, very important to these commissioners when they created this thing, but you're also allowing for the best of the rest to make the field. So, you know, there's response to, you know, the SEC defending the status quo by saying, hey, the SEC is probably going to get two teams in most years, maybe three, if you have two at-large spots, or at least two at-large spots. So there could be some support for that. Again, it's going to come down to, really, I think, the SEC conference championship game and things of that nature. You know, when you get to the point of potentially having to compromise and give up valuable things, you know, that's a really valuable thing to the SEC. But I think there's ways to do it. You can do quarterfinals on campus, which I think would be awesome and well attended, and really create for an insane day of college football that I think would be similar to the first couple days of March Madness if you had, you know, all of these quarterfinals on the same day, or three on the same day, one the night before, however you wanted to do it. I think that would be pretty cool. So, you know, that's a model that people are talking about. One thing I will just say is, even if it's not that specific model for an 18 playoff, a lot of people who thought that maybe six would be a compromise are really now in that eight-team format camp. I think that they're seeing that that's a better way to get more parties served. So you're definitely seeing more chatter about eight versus six and about, like, other types of formats you could do that would maybe be, you know, easier to swallow. I think everyone's kind of, you know, abandoning six and saying, you know, eight can serve more parties, and so we're looking at that more seriously now.
Got it. One last thought. I'd really want your opinion on this, if you don't mind. On a completely different note, as somebody who reported extensively on DJ Durkin and Maryland football, what was your reaction to the report that he was spending time with the Alabama staff?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I sent it to a couple of parents of current Maryland players who responded with some language that I'm not going to repeat, because it really surprised me, because I understand that Nick Saban, you know, has brought a lot of coaches that kind of needed to reboot or, you know, kind of, you know, get rid of their past and start over under his watch. But this just doesn't seem to be that it's needed or necessary, or that it would serve any function for Nick Saban as well. And it's one thing to bring someone like Lane Kiffin, who's, you know, maybe a little immature and, you know, has had, you know, kind of some missteps in the public eye and mostly, you know, lost jobs because they weren't winning enough. And rehabbing his type of image versus someone who, you know, oversaw a program of emotional and physical abuse and a player died during his tenure. I think that's a totally different scenario. And, you know, you don't have to rehab that person's career and you certainly don't have to do it now.
All of that. And I don't know what Nick Saban gets out of that. That made no sense to me whatsoever. A senior writer for The Athletic, a studio analyst for the Big Ten Network, Nicole Auerbach, my guest. Nicole, great to have you back. Appreciate you. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Well done. All right. When we come back, your thoughts on that, the possibility of an expanded playoff, the possibility of that playoff being, and there are a number of different models, but if you do it, does the 18 playoff make the most sense? How much of that is about the fact that the likes of UCF does not get in or even consideration as opposed to the Big Ten missing out the last couple of years? Or is it not broken? All right, open segment. One last segment. Open phones when we come back. Your telephone number, as you know, is 1-800-636-8686. Spread the holiday cheer with Panera Bread gift cards. Soups, salads, sandwiches, bakery treats. A gift that everybody will love. Plus, for every $50 in gift cards purchased, you get a $10 bonus card for yourself. Order online or visit your local Panera for more details. Once again, last week of the Jungle Year. Friday is our year in review. It's a one-day event. So we're running out of time. This week's moving quickly. Today's been a really good day. Huge call is coming up at the end of the hour, and I've got some heavy hitters online. All right, so this is interesting. I mentioned that I didn't want this thing to become a thing, but there are things that are bigger than me or more interesting to you than me. And I can only do so much as one person, even as the host of the program. And sometimes it's hard for me to take on thousands of you. And when you get it in your head that something's funny or something's cool or something's easy or something's convenient, no matter how sophomoric it is, no matter how reprehensible it is, no matter how irresponsible it is, I just can't stop you. And it's like I'm trying to plug a leak, you know, and I plug one and then five more sprout out. That's the Ray Liotta thing. And the other thing that really irritates me about that is this is not a me thing. I did not start this. I'm not a party to this. I don't want this to be a thing because then it gets back to the guy. Oh, you see what Rome said? You know what Rome's doing? And I'll say it again. I'm not doing any of this. It's not me. Yes, it's my show. Yes, I guess I'm responsible for you idiots. But it's not me. But I know it's going to work its way back to the source. And then sometimes the source works its way back to me. And there have been some very awkward conversations.
Awkward.
If I want to point to who started it, I think it's Drew in West LA. I think he was the first one through. I'm talking about Ray Liotta. Ray Liotta does a commercial for a product that helped him to quit smoking. And then all of a sudden you just tearing this guy apart. Never mind that he did something that benefited his health. He might be helping others. Y'all just killing this guy. Killing him for the way he looks. And again, personal appearance is not show fodder. And now I've got a guy on hold who claims to be Ray Liotta. The problem with Hawk is I don't know that I trust Hawk to screen this out. But again, and I haven't picked it up yet because I don't do that during the breaks. I really hope you're right, Hawk. I hope it is him because I want to be able to say, hey, Ray, I'm sorry about this. I guess it's my responsibility because it's my show, but I don't feel this way. It's not me. But there's only one way to find out. Let's go to the phones. There is somebody claiming to be Ray Liotta. Ray, if it's you, you're on the air. How are you, Ray?
It's Ray Liotta, and I'm feeling pretty good on my 64th birthday. I would say that I don't look a day over 74. I'm sure you would agree. I encourage all of your vaping listeners to try Chantix. If not, they will go and get their Shine Box and polish my gritty, dehydrated, staccato, potholed face with Kiwi Polish and number 5 Light Tan and matte finish so I can buff the excess off on your junk.
That's not a good call. No. You know how I knew that was not Ray Liotta? You know how I knew? Because I knew it was Rex the second I heard his voice. Rex, R-E-X, in ABQ. Sticking to his brand as the class moron. That never happened. Let's keep moving. All right, so there's a big, big thing going on in Buffalo tonight. The Buffalo Clone Stock. The host of the Buffalo Clone Stock is the man who runs that shiny and up-and-coming town that is Buffalo. Rick in Buffalo. Rick, what's up, man? How are you?
Super pumped for tonight's Clone Stock, Jim. We got perfect Buffalo tailgating weather. Scattered flurries and a 15-degree wind chill. I even reached out to Leffen Laguna. Told him to send his production crew so they can finally shoot a video worth watching. Last chance, Mike in Buffalo. It's in your best interest to show up tonight. Let me help you out. Hey, wife, I'm done pretending I like your family. I'm going out with the boys. See you tomorrow. We'll be in touch throughout the night, Jim. 5 o'clock at 716 Buffalo. Don't let me down. Thanks for everything, Jim. I'm out.
Rock him. Hey, Rick, thank you for everything. Rick in Buffalo repping this show hard, making this show better, elevating the conversation, yelling at people, threatening people, calling people out, holding Buffalo Clone Stocks. What that is, once again, it's a congregation, a gathering of the clones. He put it together himself. It's in Buffalo. Follow him at Rick in Buffalo. He'll tell you where he is, how that's going down. Follow him on Twitter. And he called out this guy, Mike. He said, hey, Mike, just say it. Hey, wife, I never liked your family. I'm going out tonight with the boys. See you tomorrow. Come on, Mike. Man up, Mike. Do it, Mike. Get it, Mike. It's time, Mike. 1-800-636-8686. Banging telephone calls. End of the year. I'm in a giving mood. Let's go to Fall City. Liz, Lady Clone. Hey, Liz, how are you?
Hey, Jim. I want to throw some shade at this clown calling himself Jeff in Southfield. He's no more Jeff in Southfield than that fat-ass hick Girth Brooks was Chris Gaines back in the day. I think it's likely Vic doing one of his cute little impersonations because no one in real life sounds like a mix between Cartman from South Park and a falsetto Muhammad Ali. At first, we thought it was Mike and Indy, but Mike is too proud to let a burner caller take credit for being racked with great calls. Mike likes everyone knowing he's Mike. But Vic, it all fits. He knows us too well. He had a previous beef with Rick, and he's been showing up in the Woodscopes lately. So, Victor, show yourself. I'm on to you. And, Tyler, I'm going to do my wars just how you probably like your wrestling sessions with your lady, short and unmemorable. War Stucknut and War Woodscopes. Hey, Jim. Merry Christmas to you, your family, and everyone in the jungle. 2018 was epic. I know 2019 will be off the hook, too. I'm out.
Nice job, Liz. You can rack her. So, Hawk, why don't you explain what you just brought me? I know what it is, but the camera for CBS Sports Network could zoom in and give them a shot. Exactly what is this?
That is 100 tablets of Mike and Indy's I Do Declare All. He made his own medicine. There are 100 tablets. Somehow Rich Flores got them into our hands Sunday, and that's what you're holding right now on television.
They're all stuck together. Yeah, I don't know what's more impressive. The I Do Declare It All.
I do declare. I do declare.
Or the signed picture from Fonsorelli. Both compliments of Flores. Flores brought some gifts. Was there anything else in that gift basket? Besides those two things, I don't know. 3 telephone calls. Really 2. Because I'm not counting Rex in Albuquerque. Rex in Albuquerque, Rick in Buffalo, Liz in Fall City. Again, if you're in Buffalo or near the area, find Rick, a Buffalo clone stock. Tweet at me tonight. I want pictures. I want videos. I'll try and turn it around. I'll push it back out. I want to see what it's like. Hit Hawk too. Hawk lives for it. I want to see the clone stock. All right, now this guy right here is not going to make the year in review. Well, or is he, Alvin? What are the chances Josh in Detroit makes the year in review? Right now, I'd say zero. The guy's done nothing noteworthy, right? So should I give him a chance? Last chance. I'm in a giving mood. It's the last week of the year. Only a few days left. Friday is the year in review. So you've got Wednesday and Thursday to call, and then that's that. Josh, let's see what you got, Josh. You might make it in. Josh in the D. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's going on, Romy? Happy holidays to you and yours. Of course I'll make the year review. I'm the most polarizing figure in the jungle, Rome. You know, Jingle Bell Rocks is my favorite song. Let me give you a little jingle so you guys can remember how great I am since I've been calling since 2017 and 18. Here it goes, Jim. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. I wish that we could knock Rick and Buffalo out. Dancing and prancing, Jingle Bell Square. It's another Matt in L.A. calling. What do you think, Jim? You like that? Should I be a parent?
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
What do I think? Bro, I already thought that you're the worst caller I've ever had. And that is so much worse than anything you've ever done. Dude, the amazing thing is, I've never seen a guy with so little game have so much confidence. Bro, I don't know how to put this. Dude, you're horrible. Like you're not a bad guy, but you're a terrible caller. Like, that wouldn't even work on the worst local show. Josh, it didn't even rhyme. It made no sense. Where are you going with that? Dude, you're walking around dropping mics after making calls like that. Parody Larry would be ashamed of that call, Josh. Josh, why do you do this to me? Like I like you as a guy, and I really appreciate that you rep the show and you call the show. But dude, you leave me no choice. I mean, that's garbage. That is terrible.
Garbage.
That's not making the show better. Dude, what are you doing flexing your 1 year history? Yeah, anybody who knows me knows I go back to 2017. Great, bro. Also, get out a dictionary and look up the word polarizing. Polarizing would suggest that you have very strong feelings on both sides of an issue. What do you mean you're the most polarizing caller in the jungle? That would suggest that lots of people like you. Josh, name one person who likes you. Bro, I'm really sorry to have to do this. But if you call and you do that, you leave me no choice. You understand that, right, Josh? If you're a contractor, a builder, or a remodeler, please remove Josh from the program. Now, listen up, because Lumber Liquidators is about to make your job a whole lot easier. LL Pro Plus is Lumber Liquidators' new pro services team that gives you, the pro, exclusive deals and services for all of your professional flooring needs. So put the flooring experts on your team right now. Visit your local Lumber Liquidators store or go to lumberliquidators.com/prosales. lumberliquidators.com/prosales. My thanks to all of our guests.